Welcome to the Minder Podcast. Diana.
Welcome to episode 43 of the Minder Podcast in association with Minder.org. I am your host, Paul Stenning. Thank you to those loyal listeners who have been writing in and asking me when the show is going to return. Welcome also to those who have recently discovered the podcast and written in to me to say how much they are enjoying going through the previous episodes. And apologies, I have returned later than February. I could tell you all about the issues, both technical and personal, which caused this, but the main thing is I have finally resolved them, and there is now a new Minder Podcast website. Head over to theminderpodcast.co.uk. That is theminderpodcast.co.uk. Hopefully there will be no further issues and we can stay connected. There is also a new email address, which I have purposely kept very simple. It is theminderpodcast@gmail.com. So if you want to write to the show, please do so that way. I am not a fan of Gmail, but it is at least reliable. Although a little later than suggested, I am back as promised with the interview. That is Diana Mallin herself. Yes, we finally got there. After several texts and a few previous phone calls between us, we finally managed to set up the interview proper. By the time we start recording, we are quite familiar, so if it sounds like we're straight into it here, that's because we had hours and texts aplenty before recording this. Occasionally you will hear the perils of a slightly dodgy phone line, as it was not done using the usual online call, but via Diana's mobile because that suited her best. We will have a bonus part to follow, as Diana remembered a few things she wanted to tell me, so look out for that at a later date. The line that time was more clear. For now we have the main discussion, and let me be the first to remind you that this is the only interview Diana has done since the 1980s, so we are talking a major exclusive here. It's not really your normal interview, but we cover as many bases as I could. Topics include Diana's career background before becoming an actress, although we do have more of that in the bonus part, the original casting for Minder, how similar is she to Debbie, being recognised as Debbie and the fan mail from the time that she received, her theatre work, working as a clown, believe it or not, what work she did in a pub, and it's not what you think, 41 years of Buddhism, and the future of Debbie. How did Debbie turn out, as well as what's going on with Diana today? We also have, of course, what it was like working with George and Dennis, as well as John Labanowski, or Labanowski, who played Mickey in Looking for Mickey, and good old Chisholm. Join us for episode 43 of the Minder Podcast in association with Minder.org, and a cosy chat with none other than Debbie Mitchell.
About 10 days to shoot an episode, and the boys George Cole and Dennis Waterman in between scenes, they'd always be doing the crossword in the Telegraph or the Guardian. That seemed to be the conversation of the day. You know, I mean, that was big business, crossword.
Good times. Did you enjoy doing it?
Yes. I wish they'd, they did write some more. I didn't think it was quite the same. But, do you remember the second round of the Minder?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's two different things, isn't there? Because you were in the first three series, and then it carried on with Dennis Waterman.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I just thought it was slightly... Well, I guess we're different script writers, so it's inevitable, isn't it?
That's true, yeah. So
yeah, good memories.
Did you watch the episodes again?
Pardon?
Did you watch the episodes again when I sent them through?
Yeah. I can remember using my car in it, and it was a custom-built 1275 GT Black Mini, and it had my initials on it in coach horse. It's all this sort of design, and it was handy because we could use the car with the same initials. Debbie Mitchell is my name. The only thing is that once you get involved in something like that, they actually take the car and they don't give it back to you till after the whole production and everything's finished, in case you have an accident or something happens to the car.
So, in terms of like how you were cast in the first place, I know you've done a few things on TV for a year or so before. Do you remember being cast in it at all?
Yeah, I think I got in contact directly with Western Jewellery. It was an amazing thing. I don't know, and all of a sudden I got an audition, but the audition was something like about one line or something. I was quite insulted, actually, thinking, why have I got an audition for one line? But obviously, the script writers, it was a much bigger part, but they didn't let on. Nothing was mentioned at the beginning, you know, about the character, really, about how happy he was actually going to evolve into.
They were just they were just kind of weighing you up and visually imagining how you'd come across, maybe.
Yes. And then I found out afterwards that Tony Moore, the script writer, was on the set, and he sort of introduced himself, and I'm going, oh, hi, good morning, you know, and all that. And, we just became very good friends. You know, I knew his family and everything, and, amazing. Whether it was research or not, one never knows. Thinking back on it, I don't know.
Well, he wrote some very interesting scripts where he'd taken real-life stories and turned them into Minder episodes. So he either seemed to know a lot or be involved with things himself. What do you think?
I think he did experience both sides of the law. Let's just leave it there.
So it was quite genuine, really.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the people that I met through him were something like a Minder script.
I can imagine.
But, I don't know, you just take these things in stride, don't you, every day. I mean, only when you look back on these things or you find out that he's actually gone. I don't think anyone thought it was going to be as big as it was. You know, people still remember it, they talk about it, which is absolutely amazing after all these years. I wish they'd bring back another one, like, now we're all sort of old, it would be quite nice to sort of... It would be an interesting script, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You come from a different angle to write for.
I think
it'd be quite interesting. I don't think there's anything quite like it on the television at the moment. They seem to be showing a lot of repeats, actually. It gets on my nerves, to tell you the truth. Repeats of things, you know, it's good to look back on, like, you remember who did it, but you're not quite sure how they did it, whatever it was, you know. So, I mean, it's still quite good to watch the programs and everything, but,
How does it make you feel watching the old things with, do you have good memories of filming it, or is it more like a nostalgia thing? How do you see it, given you were in it?
No, I felt good watching it. I had some giggles to myself. You remember different things and, yeah, I have good thoughts. Yeah, good thoughts. And like I said, we still bring back something like it, you know.
There's a few things I wanted to just clarify while I've got you on, because obviously you're going to be the only one who can confirm one way or another. But because it's often written about that you and Tony Hall were romantically involved. Can you just confirm whether you were or not?
You know, I don't know where you get this information from, because I've never seen it. Mind you, I don't do the internet, really. So, unless that's where you read it. No, we were just... isn't it a shame that people jump to conclusions that you just can't have a friendship or something without people reading too much into it?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, before I had to talk to anybody, like on set or anything, in case someone took a photograph and straight away they think something's going on. It's very small-minded. I mean, it's totally current.
Oh, that's interesting. So, it was just a platonic working relationship and you were friends as well?
Yes, and like I say, I knew his family very well. And his daughter Sam's an actress now. And, it was fine. We all got on very well. And, yeah.
Are you still in touch with anyone from back then?
No. Well, I think half of the people are dead now.
That's true.
But,
stumbling block.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
How about Dennis? How did you get on with him behind the scenes?
Yeah, I got on very well. Listen, if you're professional, you're professional. You go in, you know your lines, you do your day's work, and that's it. Everyone enjoys what they're doing. It's when you're not professional, or there's a problem. You know what I mean? It's like hard work, but I have to say, touch wood, throughout my acting career, I've always been very, very fortunate with the people that I've worked with. I've always got on very well with them. A bit like my neighbours, actually. I was mentioning it the other day. I've always got on well with my neighbours, and yet I've got friends that have terrible problems with their neighbours. I don't know, it's just one of... Maybe I'm just easygoing, I don't know. Or I see different sides of every story. I'm just... Yeah. I think I'm quite an interesting person, and I like interesting people. I like people. Maybe that's why I'm an actress as well. I get great satisfaction. It's all terribly cliche what I'm saying, but it's true. I love a good character. You know, doing a bit of research, getting your teeth stuck in, and fabulous. I'm my happiest actually when I'm acting or anything to do with drama. I am my happiest, my happy time, yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. I think that the way people see you is synonymous with your character in Minder. So they see you as Debbie, they think of you as Debbie, and that's a compliment rather than, obviously people don't know the real you, but...
Well, yes, because you're portraying, I'm not Diana Mallin, am I?
Yeah.
I'm Debbie Mitchell. And if you keep thinking, oh, it's Diana Mallin, I'm not doing my job right because I'm playing a character. Well, I'm not even playing it. I'm being it, darling. You know, one bees. You're not acting. If you're acting, you might as well give up everything. I mean, one doesn't act, you know.
Well, this is a cliche.
Like I say, if you're professional and you're working with professional people, then it's a joy. It's a real joy to go to work. We filmed in Hammersmith. My Debbie's flat was in Hammersmith. And the rest of the stuff was all on location.
So do you remember any location shoots of going anywhere that was a bit different?
No. To be honest.
I mean, mean, it's fairly local stuff most of the time, I think, with the episodes.
Well, it was all on and around, you know, once you're there and the crew's all sort of set up and everything. It seemed to be much bigger crews to what they have nowadays. It just seems to be a cameraman now and off you go.
Yeah.
There it was a lot more people, I remember a lot more people were involved.
Yeah.
I suppose it comes down to expense, doesn't it? Money.
Yeah. So how similar were you or are you to your character of Debbie?
Not really.
Let's sort of break it down a bit. I don't mean like stripping. I mean in terms of your personality. So I would have described Debbie as warm, loyal, very easygoing, like you mentioned you are. So, I mean, there's one thing.
I think he was very similar to me. I didn't have any difficulty playing, or I could relate. I just learnt my lines, and I was. So I suppose, I guess it's difficult for me to comment. It would have to be someone like you or a friend of mine that would answer that much better than what I could, really. But I could say I could relate to her, if that's the expression.
Yeah. Because, I mean, in that sense, you'd think you and Dennis Waterman might be sort of perfect friends. Was he very different to his character, or was he the same as well, would you say?
No, he was the same, and so was George Cole.
So he was... Was George easy to get on with behind the scenes as well?
Yes, he was very polite, very, you know, just got on with it and laugh in between and have a cup of tea and jolly, jolly. I mean, he's been acting for years, hasn't he, George?
Yeah.
You know, if you you must know yourself, really, if you work with professional people. It's not even hard work, is it? It's a joy. Something to look forward to. It's interesting. I mean, you can't wait to meet your co-stars and everything. No. Fabulous time. Like I said, I wish they'd bring it back. It would be nice to do it now. We're all so much older. It'd be very interesting, wouldn't it?
Would you do it now?
Pardon?
Would you do it now if that was on offer?
Oh, yes. Yes. Right. Yes.
Well, there's something for people to consider. I think it'd be brilliant.
So when your script writer's hearing this, get your pens out.
That's right. But going back to when, obviously you sound like you really enjoyed it, and people remember you really well, but you're actually only in, which is very surprising, only in 5 episodes.
I know, it's amazing. And I can remember... thinking to myself, I wonder how I can take advantage of this opportunity of, you know, the part that I've been given and everything. And I thought, I just don't know who else to write to. And I thought, I need a press agent. I can remember phoning up Theo Cowan, which is one of the biggest press agents that there is, which I didn't realise at the time. I mean, he had David Niven's and God knows who on his books and things. And I met him. We had a meeting. And it was just fantastic. And from there, of course, and I was in the magazines and interviews and this, that and the other. And,
But what actually happened with Minder itself? Why, did they tell you that you weren't coming back again, or did you just not hear from them?
No, I just think that the script writers kind of like, you know, your characters get written out. Tony Hall died. So unless another script writer takes over your particular character or is not, you know, writing for you or whatever, that's how it is.
Got to be nutters to go to that length.
Hey, 2 Rigby Road, usual destination.
Look, me and John were just about to go and have something to eat. Let Terry take it.
Yeah, let Terry take it.
Can any cabs? 1 minute. You're new, ain't you?
Well, no, I've been around for a few years.
I can see that. Now I'm met with candy cabs.
Oh, yeah, with them, I'm as fresh as a wilted daisy. Right, where to, love?
Oh, didn't they tell you? I do this trip every day by Sunday.
Got a confession then, do you?
Hardly. I work at the Lotus Club, up west.
What, a strip joint?
I do artistic poses.
I bet you do. So that's where we're going then, is it? The Lotus Club?
Oh, back entrance, of course.
Of course, the back entrance. Tango 64, POB.
Roger, Tango 64, message for you. Arthur rang, said, can you meet him in the pub?
What pub?
He said you'd know which one.
Roger, Roger. Right, that's £2.40.
Call me Debbie.
All right, Debbie. It's £2.40. Here?
Disgusting.
What's disgusting about it?
You mean you obliged it? In broad daylight? In the car? In the street?
No, not in the street. In the courtyard round the back of the club.
Outrageous.
It would have been if I had.
Oh, you didn't then?
I will. I've got his number.
Hey, look, Terry, I don't pay you good money to take up with slags.
You don't pay me, period, Arthur.
Gratitude.
One off original, eh, Arthur?
Original cut, I said, George. Original cut.
What's the matter then, Arthur? Don't you want to know me when I'm out?
Hello, Deb.
What? Mickey!
Bet you didn't expect to see me, eh?
What are you doing here?
Just made one from the neck, didn't I?
No.
I was hoping you still lived here. Do you mind if I come in?
He's a big un, isn't he, Gov?
And handy with it. He only started off with a 5, you know. Then added another 15 in various lumps from battering screws in a boob. He ended up with an indefinite on Her Majesty's.
No, he's knew him pretty well, didn't you?
Yeah, as wicked as some would have it. Bit simple, really. Always getting used by faces to do their hammering for them.
Still, there's a dot on the card, he won't want to come quietly. If we try and feel his collar.
Well, that's for sure. Tell you what, get onto the net, get the details on his letter sheet and who's visited. Well, it'll give us somewhere to look for starters.
Listen, I know I've sprung it on you a bit, but...
A bit? For goodness sake, Mickey, every bleeding cop in England will be out looking for you.
I'm sorry, Deb. I didn't know where else to go. It's hard to know who you can trust on the out these days from what I can make out. Grass is knee-deep, isn't it?
Oh, Mickey.
Look, all I want's a place to flop for a few days until I get things sorted out, eh?
Oh, Mickey.
No. I'll go. I wouldn't want to get you into any sort of...
No. No, hang on. I just need time to adjust. You hungry?
Starving.
Egg and bacon?
I'd have to double check, but I think you were in quite a few Tony Hoare episodes. So was that him kind of making sure you were in it, do you think, because he liked the character?
I don't know, because I didn't realise at the time. I didn't sort of tweak, you know. I mean, when you get a script, all right, you might clock the writer. Mm. But at the beginning, it didn't really... Tony Hoare's name, with respect, didn't mean anything to me. It was only afterwards when we worked together and I got to know him But it was all terribly, terribly professional. I've always been very professional. I don't think, you know, all this sleeping about one thing and another, if you're good at your job, the only person you can't sleep with is the audience. And I've never had a problem. You know, I've always had good write-ups. I've always, you know, had good feedback. I have actually been very fortunate. It'd be nice, actually, now, like I say, as an older generation, to bring back something more. I don't know if there is anything like that around anymore.
Probably not, because you have to be careful what you say these days. Did people recognise you in the streets back in the early 80s, specifically?
Yeah.
Any stories that were people respectful or...?
Always very respectful, and I remember my fan mail was always fantastic. And I never had any bad fan mail, and it wasn't until years later that someone said to me, most probably people are reading them before they send them on to you. You know, I don't just sort of send them on to you without sort of going through them and everything. I suppose to make sure that they are, you know, nice.
Yeah.
And not offensive.
But were people complimentary and, I presume, quite interested in maybe proposing marriage or things like that to you?
No, I never had any proposal.
No, that's a surprise.
No. I can help my hands up. No proposals.
Because I can tell you, and I think I said it in my original letter to you, that you are definitely people's favourite character of the whole of the show. I mean, obviously, as George and Dennis, because of they are minded.
It's so nice for you to say that. It's so nice to hear it. I mean, it's just confirmation, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know? And when I say you're only in 5 episodes, then... Yeah, you know, that's some job in that space of time, really.
It's some impression I made, wasn't it?
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, it's difficult for you to answer, maybe, but what do you think it was about that character and your portrayal that sticks with people from all the other episodes that were made afterwards? They still remember you primarily.
Yeah, well, there's a reference, isn't it? I think my honesty might just... I treat everybody the same, whether it's someone getting you a cup of tea or whether it's an extra or whether you're working against somebody, you know, famous and that. I treat everybody the same, and I think you should. Like I say, I always find it's the most unprofessional people that don't treat people well or arrogant or... Excuse me, things like that. There's no need for it. There's no need for it.
I think you've hit upon something there that resonates with people. I think it's the... Because Minder itself was very working class and down to earth, and that's obviously how you came across as very down to earth. So if you were really like that, then that's probably what people warm towards.
I think I am like that.
What was your background before sort of getting to becoming an actress and getting to that point? Because there's very little about you. I mean, you mentioned you don't look at the internet. You'd struggle to find a lot because there's a lot of missing details. So from you yourself, what was your sort of background before that?
I said to my mother, I want to be an actress. She said, actress, go out and learn a profession. So I went to hairdressing school.
Oh, you did?
3 years there, and then I did a year's beauty therapy. I got all my diplomas and everything. And then when I, you know, worked for a few years, I used to teach hairdressing at the Morris School of Hairdressing. Yeah, amazing, really. I mean, I'm glad. I think every actress should have a sort of second profession because obviously you're not in work 52 weeks a year and one has to be realistic. But, yeah, life is experience and everything, but it's funny how I turned out to be like that in the mind description as well, you know, being this sort of freelance beautician.
Yeah, was that was obviously deliberate. It wasn't coincidence.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't think anybody knew my background or whatever. I think that was just a coincidence, really.
Oh, very interesting. So then when you kind of finished Mindhunter, you were in a few more things, but then disappeared, really, off TV. So what was the... You stopped being an actress then, it appeared, anyway. What did you do, any theatre or anything, or... Did you go to do something else?
Yeah, I did a lot of theatre. I did theatre in between The Minder. All up and down. I did a tour of America and Canada and, you know, did some adverts and different things like that. And then I got quite heavily involved in Buddhism. I'm still a Buddhist now, 41 years, Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism. And, yeah, so that's my sort of philosophy of life, and, yeah.
But what took you away from TV? Was there anything in particular you were doing instead?
Well, I didn't take myself away from it. I don't think anybody takes themselves away from it unless it's like on purpose. You know, you're a working actress and the jobs come up, you take them and that's it. I think a few years ago, there wasn't so many women parts or girl parts written as there are now, you know. Mm. I mean, it seems to be run by women now, even from the top, which is great. I'm not knocking that at all. But, yeah, I mean, women have stepped up and we're at last being heard.
And there's a bit more acceptance of different ages and different appearances and all that type
Absolutely.
Of thing as well.
Absolutely, and you don't have to look like Sophie Loren. I mean... Mm. You can be ordinary, you can be not exactly the girl next door, but people that can relate to you, people that you're going to bump into when you go shopping. I mean, that is what drama is. It's everyday life, it's real life. And that's what you have to portray.
You are
whoever you happen to be playing at that time. You know, well, that's how I believe, anyway.
Yeah,
I get really stuck into it. Me, I love it.
Well, you certainly sound enthusiastic, like you'd still be interested in doing it now.
Oh, absolutely. Like I say, it would be an interesting script, wouldn't it? Sort of the older generation now. What's happened to everybody?
Yeah. But
of course, Dennis isn't here anymore, is he?
No, that's right.
You know, and then there's the other people, the new people that sort of were in the, you know, took over from Dennis and everything. That's what I'm saying, it's slightly changed a little bit. But, there's always ideas for fresh blood, fresh writers. Blimey, yes, our life continues, it grows, doesn't it? No one stands still. That's the only thing in life. It doesn't stand still.
That's right.
There's always going to be a tomorrow.
But if I made some inquiries and there was interest, you would consider coming back as Debbie, is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wouldn't it be an interesting character to see how she turned out, or whether she had a family, or whether she didn't, or
yeah,
whether she turned into a raving lesbian, or who knows where the script would go, working down the market. One doesn't know at all. It could be fun. Yes, it could be something to look forward to. Oh, I would relish in it. We should do a pilot, organise it.
Right, well, that's... I didn't expect you to say all this. I'm very... I don't think anybody's ever said that, in fact. Of all the people I've interviewed that were in it, nobody's kind of expressed an interest in coming back as a... further in the future of the character, but it's something I know that the fans think about.
Isn't that funny? I find that quite amazing, actually.
Well, fans think about it, but the people that are in it are obviously... You know, they may be doing something else and they just think it's gone now. But, you know, you can see the vision of what this could be even
well,
now.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, as a working actor, it's another job. And that's the way you have to look at it. So, like, when you go through the audition, you have to be, you can't commit suicide just because you didn't get the job yesterday.
Mm.
You know, there's always tomorrow, or what can you learn from this, or... It, you know, that's how life turns out. It went this way instead of that way. And what if you can't go by what if?
Do you think...
You know, I live my life by a very strict rule in Buddhism, which is by cause and effect. And that's thought, deed, and action. So if you think afterwards, silly old cow. That's your, you know, you're not making a good cause, are you? And you will see, maybe you'll miss that phone call, or something will happen, or you'll trip over, or... I don't know, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable, but... I think life's very exciting. I'm very excited to be here. Yes, yes. And I do welcome... I do welcome a comeback.
That's interesting. What is it that you've been doing in the sort of intervening years?
Well, in between all that, I remember now I was a clown called Dippy Dippy Die Die. Oh, don't ask. And I had a young helper that used to shop around all up and down with me. And I charged a fortune. I advertised in the Ham and High. And I must say, all my clients were fantastic, and they all had plenty of money, and it was absolutely wonderful. And so I became like, I suppose you could call me officially, like a children's entertainer. Yeah, I suppose in my own way. Yeah, I used to go up to Blackpool, up to the clowns conventions, and, yeah.
Did people know it was you?
I don't know. You don't go round saying, do you know who I am? I'm Diana Mallin, diddly dee, do you? You know, I don't know. You say, hello, what's your name? I'm Diana, and blah, blah, blah. I really don't know. I'm not one of these people that sort of says, I'm an actress, darling.
No, I meant more like, was your clown makeup obscured enough that they didn't realise it was...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, no, it was full clown makeup and everything. I went under my own name, though, Diana Mallin.
Well, there's a clue for people.
Yeah, so maybe people did, and I was totally ignorant. It's not the first thing they say to you when they're offering you a cup of tea when you arrive, you know. I don't know. I don't know. But happy memories, everything is fantastic. Yeah, I'm happy with my lot.
Excellent. And it sounds like with Mindy you really kind of have a soft spot for it. Would you say it was one of the best things you did?
Yes. Yes. Although I've done some fabulous plays. But, you see, years ago the money was never very good in theatre. It was better in television or films or, you know... I don't know what it is now. I don't know. People don't really talk about money.
No, they don't.
But,
in fact...
You know, a lot of it's freelancers, very few agents about nowadays. Everyone's freelancers, this, that and the other. And I guess I also, maybe I'm a little bit ignorant because I don't really do the internet.
No.
I'm not one of the... I Google things if I don't know something or if I want to look something up or something, but that's about as far as my internet experiences go. I know I should be a bit more au fait with it all because that's how the way of the world is, but maybe I should take some private classes or something.
Do you remember working with Jenny Nevinson at all?
Yes.
What was your experience with her?
Yeah, she was fine. She was the air hostess, the other girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She was fine. I knew her personally. Actually, I'd met her. And I met her some friends and through some other friends. I did Edinburgh Fringe through all that. I did a brand new play called The Three-Way Split with Lizzie Tarbuck, Jimmy Tarbuck's daughter.
Lisa.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think she was 21 then in those days.
So you all did a play together, you mean?
Yeah.
But you got on with her fine and you were quite a good offset.
Yes, like I say, I've always got on well with everybody. I don't know, I've got nothing bad to say about anybody, whether they feel the same way. I would hope that they didn't. I mean, I would hope they've got good memories of me personally or professionally. That's it. Have you ever been onto a television set or a film set?
Yeah, a few times. But
then, people do their bits and either go back to their dressing rooms or, you know, it's not all sort of parties every night and things like that. It's like going to the office, really. I don't want to belittle it because it's much, well, I don't know, there's nothing wrong with going to the office. Well, thank God there are office people. But, you know, what can I tell you?
I think that's the fascinating thing, is because although, you know, there are people who aren't involved that realise it works like that, we still have this fascination with whatever comes out on the screen. And that's always there.
Well, I think that's wonderful. That's why we have fans. And listen, they're the ones that put, you know, bums on seat. They keep the theatres going. They keep, you know what I mean? Mm. You have to play to your audience.
Yeah. Was there anybody you particularly remember fondly from then, or just sort of everybody's the same level?
No one in particularly, just really Dennis Waterman and George Gold, because I suppose I worked with them the most.
Yeah.
But
are you saying that you wouldn't kind of go out with each other afterwards? Like, would you join them in the pub, for instance, things like that?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, people were either waiting for taxis or... You're on such a high, you know, if you've had a good day, you know, you don't really particularly want to go straight home. You'd have a drink or something, which was the nearest pub or in the pub or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good, isn't it?
As long as you keep up the payments.
Come on.
Hold on. You're going to tell me what this is all about or what?
Told you, some kind of celebration. What's the matter? Don't you want a free lunch?
Lunch is for the middle classes. I have dinner.
Thanks ever so.
It's a pleasure, madam.
That was nice of him, wasn't it?
I ain't sure.
What a waste.
Expect his dad thinks, huh? Yeah. Now, come on, you're going to tell me what this is all about.
Yep. Hang on. Given up the stripping game. Gone into business for myself.
Deborah Mitchell, eh? Hairdresser, manicurist and facials.
All private, like. Visiting clients in their own homes. Stuck a couple of ads in the local. Got a terrific response. Great, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, beats digging ditches.
Beats having old men leering at you and all.
Did you know anything about that?
Trained for it when I left school, didn't I? I got certificates and diplomas.
Funny, isn't it?
What is?
Well, I don't know. I've known you for so long, I can't imagine you doing anything else.
I'm not all tits and bum, you know, Terry.
No, I didn't mean that.
I guess there's quite a few things you don't know about me.
Yeah, there probably is, yeah.
Well, aren't you pleased for me?
Yeah, I think it's smashing. And that's why I'm going to buy you a meal.
No, I said my treat.
I mean it.
How much your man time is it?
That's right, yeah. No, I'm not having you buy me meals. Oh, I'll tell you what, though. I ain't got much dough, so if you pay for it now, I'll give you the money later, all right?
Tell you what, I'll make a deal with you.
What?
I buy lunch, you take me out tonight.
All right.
Oh, don't like that one much.
That's quite good. Me?
Good seated sod.
Oh, dear, all this brandy, all this food. Might have to have a lie down this afternoon.
I'm a beautician now, you know.
As you wish, Your Honour.
You're a very attractive young lady, if I may say so.
Thank you.
I suppose all your male clients make the same observation.
Nice place you got here. You lived here long?
Yes. Yes, I suppose I have. Deborah, I don't suppose...
What, Mr. Parsons?
I mean, is this the extent of your services?
Afraid so. It's all I'm really qualified for, you see.
Oh, well, perhaps you ought to consider extending your repertoire. Like, I don't know, personal massage, that sort of thing. I'm sure it would pay well. Oh!
Sorry, Mr. Parsons, you sort of distracted me.
You sure you won't change your mind, Deborah?
Sorry, Mr. Parsons, nothing personal, but it's like I said, I'm only qualified in certain things.
But what if I were to say that...
What was that?
I don't know. You better wait here. I'll go find out.
Right, well, thank you so much for talking to me. I know it was a bit unexpected and you've not been so well, but is everything okay now?
Well, I'm not a very well person, but we get through every day. And, yeah.
And you're looking forward to the future, which is the main thing.
Pardon?
You're looking forward to the future, which is the main thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Any plans in particular for the future, other than what we've spoken about?
No, I haven't got anything in my diary professionally booked in at the moment. But who knows? I'm open to offers, put it that way. You know, at this moment in time. Yes, fabulous.
Right. Well, if there's anything, then I shall pass it on with great pleasure.
All right, well, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much. I hope it's been good. I've enjoyed doing it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Diana. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Deborah.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye-bye.
My immense thanks to Diana for all the time she has given me over the past few months. It's really appreciated. It's been quite a saga putting this together, but of course it was worth it. As I said earlier, there is also a bonus part to follow, which will come soon. I've also been speaking with a few other people in regards to Minder. Well, many in fact. One very famous indeed, although not in the way you might imagine. And a couple of other names you will recall immediately who have some great stories. All that is to follow in the future, but for now, do remember, if you want to email, it is theminderpodcast@gmail.com, or you can contact me via info@paulstenning.org. And don't forget to visit minder.org, the site, of course. Thanks for listening.